Well, I want to go on into the message this morning. I announced last week that I would be preaching on. I don't typically do that. From time to time, I will. But we live in a time when there is a lot of talk of fake news. You know, every one of us in this room, we experience the news in some capacity. And in that fake news, we hear a lot and we see a lot, and sometimes it's very difficult to process, isn't it? We read it, we hear it, we see it. Fake news. Y'all guys go ahead and bring up my PowerPoint if you would. When it comes to fake news, we as people, we discuss it. Some of us get angry over it. Some of us get mad at one another. Some of us delete people on Facebook. Some of us delete people on Instagram. Some of us just, you know, don't watch it at all or try to ignore it. We try to cull what we think's not good. If we don't like it, we can it. But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll even believe the fake news. If we're not really careful. The term fake news became popular. It's been around for some time, but it became popular during the 2016 U.S. presidential election, and since then it's continued to gain popularity in its application, to say the least. An urban definition of fake news describes it as deliberate misinformation with the intent to mislead in order to damage an agency, an entity, or a person. Fake news. In other layman's terms, fake news is typically profitable to one person or one entity while being detrimental to another. Fake news is really nothing new at all. We used to call a lot of it gossip. As this digital age that we live in continues to grow, seemingly the digital age grows at the process of, or at the speed of light. I remember Connie when I first started pastoring up in Ed Wood, and Ed didn't send me up there. I went up there voluntarily. And I went up to pastor a little church, what was then a little church in Elk Creek, Virginia, up in Grayson County, Virginia. Cell phones were just coming out. And my cell phone was carried around in a big old black bag with a battery pack, and I had a rubber antenna up on the top of my van, and I had to plug that rubber antenna up and drive to the top of what is called Iron Mountain, Virginia, to even get a phone call out in Grayson County. Then we went to flip phones, which many of you all have had up until recent days. Still got one. Then we went to our smartphones. And my dad, 89 years old, he'll say, "Hey son, get that thing out of your pocket and rub your finger over it and tell me something." Digital age is rapidly increasing. Then my son and all of his family, they got me this thing here for Christmas, and it talks to me. It tells me sometimes that you've been sitting too long. You need to stand up. Yesterday, Sarah and I went on a little road trip, and I put the GPS in on my phone, and it said, "You need to turn right in 0.6 of a mile, and my phone started going off like the right signal on my car, and I said, "What in the world is that?" And it was my right blinker was coming on in my wristwatch. The world's dramatically and quickly changing around us. This digital age continues to progress at the speed of light. So is our consumption of news. the days of the latest news. Some of you all remember this. We have the latest news every hour on the hour. You remember that on the radio or maybe on the TV? You know, there were two sacred times in our house as I was growing up. That's when, I'm dating myself just a little bit here, but that was when Walter Cronkite or Billy Graham came on TV. You sat down and shut up, and Walter Cronkite was every night at 6:30. But now it's continually before us. The news every hour on the hour, and the news reported that every half an hour is now as extinct as the dinosaurs that once roamed the earth. The smartphones and tablets and watches and all of that are continually feeding us with sources of news and information. Because that's all news is. It's just information. Since 2013, news consumption in the United States of America has increased 300% among the population. 300%. You're watching it 300 times more. You're consuming it 300 times more than you were just about 7 years ago. And that's kind of mind-boggling to me. And I was seeking out some information, and I found this in an October 2019 publication on a website called statistic.com. It says 52% of Americans believe that the news that they are subject to or that they hear, that they intake, 52% of Americans believe that what they're hearing and what they're listening to, what they're reading, what they're seeing is fake. Over half believe that what we see and what we hear is fake. Occasionally, if you're like me, every once in a while you'll see something and you'll go to a website like Snopes and you'll look it up and to see and to verify if it's actually true or not. And then you really don't know whether to even believe them. I saw a news report just the other day of a famous actor that it come out in the news. They were deceased and they were dead when they weren't really dead at all. Then I saw another country music singer. It came out that this country music singer had died, and I found out that indeed was true. The only thing was is they had died 8 years ago. Long drawn out funeral, I guess. I don't know. So the news all around us is happening. We hear it all the time. But I want to preach to you this morning about how to lose the fake news. How to lose the fake news. And some of y'all are sitting there and you say, well, I can lay my cell phone down and run over it with my truck and that would solve it all. Or I could get rid of my satellite dish. That would certainly help. Or, you know, you could go back into, remember the holiness movement, Jimmy, remember the holiness movement of the 50s, and of course I wasn't there in the 50s, but I remember the 60s and early 70s, the one-eyed monster that sat in the living room of our home and the devil's horns that grew out of the chimney. That was the old TV antennas and the black and white TV. We could get rid of those things. But still, news is all around us. But here's the thing about losing the fake news. Why it's so important to us. And I've got a little bit of a disclaimer to offer you right now. This message is really not given with any regard to the news media itself, nor is it given with the platform of a certain political party. But I'm preaching this message to you with reference to biblical principle and the state of spiritual warfare that exists. The work between darkness and light. That's what I'm preaching to you about this morning. You see, it's about the news and us. It's about the news and us. And it's about the danger of listening to a lie. You see, the more you listen to a lie, the more that lie becomes true to you. Did you know that? If you listen to a lie long enough, that lie will become truth, at least in your mind or my mind. In joint research done that was completed by professors just a few years ago, a joint group of professors from Vanderbilt, Duke, and UNC Chapel Hill. I was hoping Doug was going to be here when I mentioned Duke. He would have been over there, you know. But this joint effort, this joint research, these professors discovered that you could take even the most profound lie, and there were certain criteria that's cited in this report, even the most profound, the most extreme lie can repeat it every day. If it's repeated every day, the listener will begin to be influenced by that lie to the point that they will believe it. That's why it's important that you and I abstain from certain things. That's why it's important that you and I abstain from certain doctrines. That's why it's important that you and I abstain from certain fake news, if you would. You see, the practice is known. It's actually a very old practice, and the practice is referred to in research terms as illusionary truth. Have you all ever been to a magic show or saw an illusionist that could make a woman float and they bring the hula hoop over her? Have you ever been to that person that can make the egg disappear in your ear or something like that, or the quarter appears behind your ear? You know what all of that is? All of that is illusion. All that's, they do it so quickly. They do so quickly. They do it so speedily with a sleight of hand that they trick your mind into thinking that it has really happened when it's never happened at all. An illusion. But then there's in essence, it's the age-old tactic of propaganda. Propaganda is not anything new. Propaganda is not new, but propaganda is ever increasing around us. And again, this is not about a political or a news media message in its essence, but propaganda is happening all around us. Turn on your radio, turn on your TV, pick up your cell phone, swipe across your tablet. Propaganda is happening everywhere. Propaganda is nothing new. Propaganda is simply gaining influence without the use of physical force. That's what propaganda is. Propaganda, in reality, is the work of manipulation, which is the spirit of Jezebel. And we all have been victim to propaganda. We all have had that, at least try to influence. I would go as far as say every single one of us in this room have been affected, if you would, by the influence of propaganda, as I'm calling it, or the influence of the spirit of Jezebel that would like to influence us, or something or someone that would try to exercise influence over our life to manipulate and control. A Congregationalist pastor named Everett D. Martin once wrote this in one of his messages that he preached. He said, "Propaganda is making puppets of us. We are moved by hidden strings which the propagandist manipulates." If we're not careful, there are forces and there are powers and there's influences that will reign over us if we do allow them to. Fake news will take authority over our life. Fake news will take authority over our thinking. We actually see that happening in our physical world around us, and we have to be the ones to be discerning that. But what it amounts to, the voices of propaganda are wanting to influence us, or to, if you would, to take over our life in many, many ways. And there are many voices in our land today. In fact, the Bible speaks of there's many voices, and the Bible speaks of those voices, none of them are without significance. If you have your pen and pencil ready, I want you to write down some scriptures. I'm not reading a text this morning as would the normal be, but I am going to give you some verses of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 10 gives us a reference to the statement that I just made. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. When we begin to think that sometimes things are meaningless, voices are meaningless, opinions are meaningless, news is meaningless, what I'm hearing, oh, it's really not going to hurt anything. Everything that we consume in our mind through visual, especially through visual and especially through hearing, the things that we absorb into our mind, into our intellect, do have an effect on us. Whether it be positive, whether it be negative, they do affect us. Through the years, there has been the voices of propaganda that have occurred in the world around us, and we have seen or heard or at least studied of the effects of some of those voices. Back during World War II, there was a voice of demoralization, and some of you history buffs, some of you veterans, you'll know what I'm talking about, but it was the voice of demoralization during World War II that came across the airwaves, which, by the way, was the high tech of that era of World War II, and it was the voice of Ramblin' Rose. Y'all, does anybody know who I'm talking about? Ramblin' Rose? The voice of Ramblin' Rose, and the voice of Ramblin' Rose, which was considered, she was considered to be some multi-personality, schizophrenic woman that was trying through the airways, trying to discourage the troops that were abroad, to discourage them to turn their backs on their country, to turn their backs on their family. And it was voices of demoralization. And then there was the voice that happened during the 70s, if you would, the voice of atheism that was spoken by Madeleine Murray O'Hare. And it was that voice of atheism that we saw not as much then, probably, as we see now, this voice of atheism and the propaganda of atheism that has now so much changed our country, because now we have, listen, we not only did the voice of atheism occur, but we begin to take Sunday school and Bible studies and things like that, and we begin to take those necessities of learning Scripture out of our churches, and now look at where we are at a generation later. You see, voices that have shaped us and changed us. It was the socialist voice of Karl Marx that changed much of the world of Europe. It was the voice of Nazism, Friedrich Nietzsche, that the voice of Nazism that called Nazism to spread across Europe. Listen, what you say, well, none of those things really affect me here, Pastor, but in reality they probably do to some extent. Every one of them probably do. But there is a voice of propaganda that I promise is affecting every single person in this room, every single person that is watching by Facebook Live or listening by EV Radio this morning. It is the propagandic voice of the Antichrist, and we call him Lucifer. And he started a long time ago with his propaganda. When we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and you begin to read there, when Lucifer said to Adam and Eve, did God really say? Did God really say this? Did God really say that? Did God really mention this in His dialogue to you? You know, did God really? Now, is that really what God meant? And in His propagandic voice, Satan began to say, did God really say? Did He really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, did He think about God? Think. And the voice of propaganda began to resonate through the Garden of Eden. And we don't know how long it took place, what span of time actually occurred there. But in my mind, allow me to, for this morning, in my mind, to share with you that maybe it took the course over a few days. Maybe it took a few months. Maybe it even took a few years. Every day, Satan came back by and say, did God really say this? Is this what God really meant? Is this what, well, maybe God meant something else. Maybe you misunderstood. And the voice of propaganda continues. And in verse 4 of Genesis 3, you won't really die. You're really not going to die. Even though God said, you will die. Now, the propagandic voice continues and he says, no, you're not really going to die. For God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And the voice of Lucifer, that original propagandist, if you would, that voice of Lucifer, he kept talking and he kept speaking fake news. He kept speaking false reports. He kept twisting the truth. He used the words of God, but yet he twisted them. And he twisted them into the point that Adam and Eve believed the lie. And because they believed the lie, they fell from the grace of God. And sin entered this world. Listen to me. We can't afford to believe the fake news. We can't afford to believe the lie. We can't afford. We have to lose the fake news and believe what thus saith the Lord. And we have to believe that the Word of God is still true. And the Word of God still stands. And the Word of God is enough to carry us home into His presence. You see, when you go to the Gospel of John in John 8 and 44, we find there that the Lord referred to the devil, to Lucifer, to Satan, whatever name you choose to call him. You see there that you find that it's declared that Satan is the begetter of the lie. Now y'all know what beget means, right? You've read all of the begets, you know? You know that's part of the Bible you really love reading, right? You know? The devil's the begetter of the lie. He is the conceiver of the lie. He is the producer of the lie. He is the one that originated the lie, if you would. And fake news reports of a persistent foe, if we continue to believe fake news reports of the persistent foe, they're going to sound something like this. He's first going to say to us, well, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. There's no truth in you. Because he wants you to think you're as he is. And if you continue to, listen to that, he'll say you're a failure. He'll say you're a failure. There's no point. You're washed up. There's no hope for you. You're no good for nothing. Listen, it isn't the Spirit of God that whispers those things in our ears and say, I've failed as a parent. It isn't the Spirit of God that whispers in our ears and says that I failed as a wife or I failed as a husband. It's not the Spirit of God that whispers into your ear and says, I have failed as a believer. I failed as a Christian. It isn't the Spirit of God. It isn't the Spirit of God that whispers in your ear and says there's no hope for you. That is coming from the source of fake news, which is no more than Lucifer himself, the devil, and he's spreading the lie. He's manipulating the lie. He's telling you that there's no hope. He's telling you can't be healed. He's telling you there's no help for your addiction. He's telling you there's no hope for your children. He's telling you you're worthless. He's telling you you'll never be any good. You'll never amount to nothing. He'll tell you, go ahead, pull that trigger. Go ahead, take that overdose. Go ahead, do whatever you need to do because you're worthless anyway. Listen, that is fake news. Don't absorb it. Don't believe it. Don't keep listening to it, because if you keep listening to it, you're going to believe it. But ignore it. Cut it off. Change channels. Do something. Throw the phone away. Because God says that you are a beautiful creation in His sight. You are somebody in Jesus Christ. So it's It's time for a change. It's time for a change. We change stations. You know what? My wife is the remote master in our house. Now, I'm not a big TV watcher. You know, you take TV out of the house, it really wouldn't bother me too much at all, to be honest with you. Not that I'm against it. It's just, there's other things, you know. Now, my wife, she likes watching them sappy TV shows, you know, and she likes to watch a lot of Westerns too. Sometimes I get worried about her watching all them shoot 'em ups. I feel sometimes, you know, I take all of her bullets. But it doesn't take Miss Sarah watching something too long. If she don't like it, she'd say, you know, about time I may get watching something, next thing I know, I'll say, did you turn the channel? Yeah, I didn't like that. done wore out three remotes in the last 5 years. No, that's a little bit of exaggeration. It's only been two. But change the station. Find another website to go to. Subscribe to a different newspaper. Get you a new news app on your phone. And I'm using that metaphorically. Stop listening to the lie. What I'm urging you to do this morning is to face off with the fake news. Lose the fake news. Listen, the less you listen to it, the less likely you are to believe it. Remember, the agenda of propaganda is a work of influence, a negative work of influence. It's an infiltration of your thoughts, your opinions, and your values. If you listen to the devil long enough, he will convince you that he's your friend. If you listen to him long enough, he'll convince you you're no good, you're worthless, you're washed up, you're through, you're done, you're over with, you're a has-been. If you listen to him long enough, he will convince you that your kids are not going to be saved. If you listen to him long enough, he will make you think that your life is not going to be anything but broke, busted, and disgusted. If you listen to him long enough, he is going to make you believe that. But when you face off with him and you remember that the agenda of propaganda is a negative influence on your life and you begin to change channels, I find in James chapter 4 and verse number 7 that James wrote, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Turn your channel to Jesus and allow him to change your stinking thinking, my stinking thinking. Allow him to change your life and begin receiving the gospel, because the gospel means in essence the good news of Jesus Christ. Remember, hey, me and Sarah was riding down the road the other day and we were singing a little bit of that old song. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. For with Christ I am an heir. I plan to take a trip on that good old God. Some of y'all know it. Let's start that over. I have new good news to bring, and that is why I sing. For with Christ I am an heir. I plan to take a trip on that good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Listen to me. Jesus has nothing but good news to bring you. He's bringing you hope. He brings you joy. He brings you peace. He brings you happiness. He brings you contentment. Even in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of circumstances, and in the midst of the certain situation, find him as your authentic news source. Because let me give you just a few of his headlines this morning. In Deuteronomy 28 and 13, he said, you are destined to be the head and you will no longer be the tail. In Proverbs 16 and 13, he says that he has established plans for us, plans that we are going to prosper, plans that we are going to be in health. Proverbs 16 and 19, he says, I've ordered your steps. I know where you're going. I know where you've come through, and I know what lies ahead for you. In Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, he said, don't look at the former things. He said, because I'm doing a new thing in you. Let me tell you something. When you leave here today, I hope and I pray you let me know if you do this, because if you do this, I want to leave way ahead of you, or I want to leave way behind you. But when you leave here today, you're going to leave here, you don't, whether you're driving or riding, but especially if you're driving, you're going to be looking out the windshield of your vehicle. You don't drive with that rear view mirror. My wife thought that was a makeup mirror for a long time. She figured out if you adjust that thing, you can see what's behind you. Listen, there's a reason that the windshield in your car is so much bigger than the rear view mirror. Because what's in front of you is a whole lot more important than what's behind you. Amen. And the Lord knows, He knows, He sees, He knew you, He knows you, and He will know you. He said when you were in your mother's womb, He knew you. Don't look at the former things. He said, I'm doing a new thing. In Philippians 4 and 3, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. All things. Limitless. There is nothing through Christ that you can't do. There's nobody through Christ that you can't be. There's nothing that can't be accomplished in your life through Christ Jesus. If you'll go back to James and submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Are there battles? Are there challenges? Will there be hills? Will there be mountains? Will there be valleys? Absolutely. But you must realize everything is different, because in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, Paul declared that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Listen, when you change channels, when you change your news source, realize this and understand this, that you are made new. You are not the same anymore. I don't believe the old news. I choose to believe the good news. I lose the fake news and I accept the truth, because God's Word is truth. He says He is truth. That's even one of His names. So lay hold on that truth. Keep your pen handy. I forgot to change the pictures. So lay hold on the truth, because here's why it's important. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth and I am the life. Let me tell you what that means. That means there ain't no fake news coming out of that source. There's not been a misrepresentation. There's not been a false report. There's not been an error in reporting. You know, sometimes Sarah and I get tickled. Not that I'm really good at it myself, but I get tickled because sometimes I read, there's a certain news agency, then sometimes Sarah and I will read it. You know, I'll be reading the news online and I'll be reading it and I'll say, would you read this? Some of the worst grammatical and spelling errors I've ever seen in my life. I said, these are professional news reporters. Let me tell you something. There's not one jot, there's not one tittle, there's not one speck, there's not one dot. There's nothing in the plan and the Word of God that is missing. It is complete, it is whole, it is infallible, it is without error, it is right, it is good, it is true. There is no fake news about it. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing this song, because Christ is my heir, and He is your heir if you've accepted Him as your Savior. In 2 Timothy, he said, all Scripture is breathed by God and is profitable. Hold on, let me preach here just a minute. I know we're running out of time. Hold on, let me preach here. You will never be any more spiritual than you are scriptural. If you are dead to Scripture, you're dead to the Spirit. Thank you, Jimmy. If you're dead to Scripture, you're dead to the Spirit. Listen. We are a blessed generation of people, because not only is there a lot of fake news, there's a lot of good stuff going on. We live in a day and a time. We live in a day and time where there's more Scripture. Scripture is more easily accessible to us than any generation before. I've read stories, and I know many of you all have too, of missionaries and in foreign countries where they only had one Bible to go out through the camp, and they would take that one Bible, a whole tribe of people, and they will rip two or three pages out of the Bible and begin to pass them out, and they'll read them, and then they would trade them off and just take one Bible. And their love for the Word of God is just so phenomenal, and they would begin to share it. And then you and I, we have the opportunity that is before us, and to read the Bible in every way. Just like this.
Chapter 57. The righteous man perishes, and no man takes it to heart, and devout men are taken away while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from evil. He enters into peace. They rest in their beds, each one who walked in his upright way.
You see, the Word of God is ever more before us. We are the generation that should be more consumed in the Word of God than any generation that has ever been before us, because it's accessible to us. Yet, but we have become a generation that is far removed from what the Word of God says and the truth of the Word of God. And that's why the fake news has such influence on us. But if we get back to the truth and we absorb the truth into our minds, into our spirits, and into our souls, and realize that all Scripture is breathed by God and is profitable, that's why, I don't follow his ministry necessarily. I'm not getting into that this morning, but I love what Joel Osteen says. He says, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do." Because when we know the truth of the Word of God, then when I can't stand on anything else, I say, "God, I can stand on your Word. I can hold it up high. I may believe this, I may be hearing this, but it doesn't matter, because I stand on your Word, and your Word is the truth." So, what will you believe? Isaiah 53:1. I like this. Now, I like using all kind of different versions. We call them versions or different English interpretations of Scripture. But there is no other English interpretation that replaces the King James in this, in my opinion. In Isaiah 53:1, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Let me tell you. I pick up my phone. I turn on my computer. I turn on my iPad. I even turn, when the TV is turned on, I listen to the radio a lot, and I listen to the news on the radio, and I'll just tell you the truth. I don't know what to believe in the things of this world, especially this great country we live in. Some of the stuff I see and I hear is beyond belief, to be honest with you. Some of it, I don't know if it's true reports. I don't know if they're untrue reports. I don't know if they're credible. It's really hard to know sometimes. Some of it's profound enough that you don't have to be no rocket scientist to figure it out. But other times, and you see, this is the danger, because this is the propaganda of Satan. The propaganda of Satan is, he makes the lie close enough to the truth that you believe the lie. I don't get right down with, send your cards and letters, go ahead, I love you. Listen, I believe Jesus died for everybody. I don't believe there is a soul on earth, that has blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I don't believe there is a soul on earth that's ever went beyond or past the opportunity of being saved or the opportunity to be saved. But we have embraced, as the church has embraced such a fake news. It's just close enough to the truth to be true, but it's still a lie. Listen, We was riding around yesterday. I had something I wanted to see, and I drove through a really old cemetery where I have some of my great-great-grandparents and what have you are buried there. We drove through this cemetery. And you know what? When you go through cemeteries, you know something? Everybody goes to heaven if you read the tombstone. Now, I'm just pulling a name out of the air, so it's no, if it's one of your kin people. No. I never have walked by, you know, you walk by and it's this tombstone says so-and-so, you know, Mary Sue Brown, she's went on to now in the arms of Jesus, you know, and I never did walk one that said Freddie Bill Hell, he done went to hell. Because everybody goes to heaven when they die to hear us tell it. And God just embraces sin to hear everybody tell it now. And I'm sorry. I mean, it's in the national news. So, you know, and it's not fake news. I do know that. It's not fake news because I read their news. One of the largest denominations in America is getting ready to divide. And really the division is happening because the mainstream denomination is just saying to the group of people that are willing to stand for the Word of God, you can go ahead and separate from us. But we are going to embrace alternate lifestyles, homosexual lifestyles. We're going to ordain them. We're going to license them to preach. We're going to do all this stuff. Even though they know it's a contradiction to the Word of God. See, we take a hyper look at grace and we twist the grace of God. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. Yes, Jesus will save you. But when He saves you, He says, come ye out from among the world, be a separate people. All the old things have passed away and behold, everything becomes new. And He begins to change us and to transform us. And I'm a long ways from being perfect. But I can tell you what I used to do back in, listen, I know we got to go, but I got to tell y'all a story. Last Sunday, right here, man, I felt a little bit queasy when I got here at church last Sunday. But by the time we got through with life group and coming down the hall, you know, and preach, I felt pretty good. I felt pretty good. And I thought, well, is this for some, you know, maybe I eat or what I didn't eat. And we were chatting with some of you all out here in the vestibule after church. And there was some people that hung around and Sarah and I were chatting with them about some things and I had to go sit down out here behind the Connection Center. And as soon as the last person walked out the door, I looked at her. I said, I got to go to the men's room. I got to get there. And I became the sickest last Sunday afternoon. By the time you all were getting home, I was here throwing up. Pardon me for being graphic. I was throwing up everything plus what I didn't have inside of me. I had to come in here and lay down. Gwen, I hope you don't catch nothing. That's seat. I don't even remember which seat I laid down on. But I had to lay down. I was so sick, and I told Sarah. I said, you know, the sickest I ever have been, that I ever remember being like that. And it made my mind go back a lot of years ago to a time I got alcohol poisoning. And you understand how you get alcohol poisoning. And yes, I was sick with a virus, apparently, or some kind of flu bug, something, for a couple of days. And it was very unpleasant. It was very painful. But it made me think back to 1979. When I got poisoned with that alcohol. And for days, for about the course of 3 days, that I knelt before the ceramic throne. Most of you call it a commode. And I lived my life there. And I realized, this ain't for me. There's better things for me. God has better things for me than what I'm experiencing in my life right now, because I was a backslidden teenager. And I was waiting for Jesus to come in and change me. Let me tell you something. It never happened. He didn't come in and my wait didn't happen. But when I went over to the house of Jesus and knocked on His door. And actually I did it at some friends' house. Dear friends of mine. They had a little old bitty mobile home. Wasn't big enough to whip a cat in. It was, I think, like a 12 by 50 mobile home. There's campers now bigger than their mobile home was. And I went over 10:30 at night. I've been working on my car, changing transmission fluid in it, service address. I was greasy. I smelled like transmission fluid. I was dirty. I was nasty. I was all sweaty and stinky. And I went over there on that March night in 1979. And I began to share with them. I said, I've got to do something with my life. They said, why don't you just give your heart to Jesus? I said, do you think He would have me? And they said, oh, I know, Sandy. Sandy said, oh, I know He would. And we pushed back that little old five and dime coffee table that they had. And that became the altar of prayer. And I didn't really understand too much about the hows, whats, and all of that, but I knew the why. I knew I was miserable. And I know when I opened my heart and I asked Jesus to come in. Again, I'm not being perfect. I'm not being flawless. And I don't tell you, I'm still not, by the way. But I want to tell you something. From that moment on, 1979, this March, just in a few weeks, 41 years ago, my life was changed forevermore. Because I quit believing the lie that I wasn't going to be anything, that I wasn't going to be nothing but a drunk and a deadbeat, just like the rest of my mama's family. I quit believing the lie that I was never going to amount to anything. I wouldn't do nothing but dig ditches all of my life. I quit believing the lie, and I found Jesus as Lord of my life. He changed me, He transformed me, and He made a difference in me. And He will you if He hasn't already. I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me just a moment. If you're in this place this morning and you've been listening to fake news, and I'm not talking about CNN or ABC or CBS or CNN or Fox or any of the rest of those networks. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about you've been listening to the voice of the enemy. You've been letting the devil lie to you. You've been letting the devil tell you that you are a nobody and nothing. You've been letting the devil tell you that you can't make it, you can't survive, you can't do it. He's got you fooled. He has talked to you so long. He has used propaganda against you. He is twisted. He is manipulated. But let me tell you something. This is what I want you to do. I want you to lose the fake news this morning. I want you to realize and know that through Jesus Christ, Jesus says you are a brand new creature in me. If you are alive in Christ, you are a new creature. All the old things have passed away. Everything becomes new when Jesus comes in. I want you to realize that is the truth. That is not the fake news. The fake news is that you'll never make it, that you don't have a chance, that you're just gonna spend eternity in hell. The fake news is that you'll do it sometime later on, and I'll fix it sometime later. I'm just not ready now. You see, that's all fake news. Listen to me. Jesus said today is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask you this question. Are you here this morning and can say, preacher, it's time for me to change channels? I've been listening to the fake news too long. I need to change channels. I am going to be who God says I am. I'm going to fulfill everything that God's called me to fulfill. I'm not going to be a slave any longer, but I'm going to be a son. I'm going to be a daughter. If you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus, or if you've drifted far away from Him and you need to make your way back home prodigal, this morning I want to ask you this without any embarrassment, without any humiliation. Are you ready to change channels this morning? Are you ready to absorb the truth of what God says about you and what He says for you? If that's you, just raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is what I want you to do. Those of you especially that raised your hand this morning, I'm going to give you a corporate invitation with everybody else in this room. I want us together down front. Why do I want us together down front? Because it's good to be close proximity with one another. It enables us to minister to one another far, far better. But this is what I want you to do. If you raised your hand, if you're one of the few people in this room, there was few means more than two, more than one. There were several people in this room. Raise your hand. This is what I want you to do. I want you to join with everybody else as we come down here and we seek the face of the Lord, because we're going to absorb some good news in this place this morning. We're going to observe the Word of God. Let me tell you something. There's nothing good about me. The Scripture says that my righteousness in its best form, my righteousness is as filthy rags. I want some people, come on. Come on, church people. If Jesus has changed your life, If you're connected up to the good source, a good news source, I want you to come down here, because there's other people that need to make that same commitment and need to make that same step. I just want you to come on down here.